Welcome to episode 2 of Suck Off. This is Karsten, and I just wanted to give a quick disclaimer that Christian's audio got messed up, and it's my fault. But we're all big boys here. We can get over it. Enjoy the episode, and I'm sorry. I hope you enjoy it.
Hello, welcome to episode 2 of Suck Off. We're back.
This is Shit Show at the Fuck Factory.
Yes. Oh my god. That you don't forget a title like that. Mm-hmm. Couldn't forget that one. I'm a little unprepared for this episode because it's one of my least favorite episodes of the show.
What the fuck are you talking about? What in the absolute fuck do you mean?
Anytime I recommend it to people, the show, I'm like, just get past episode 2 and then you're good.
What is wrong with you? Episode 2.
It's kind of bland.
You better be prepared to defend yourself.
I feel like they don't get like the chemistry right until episode 4, really. And episode 2, nobody's there yet. They're not there yet. Besides Roman. But anyway, where we left off, Logan had a brain hemorrhage and he's in the hospital, and the whole family's in the hospital.
It's a bottle episode, basically.
Yes.
Where all of the siblings, it's really living up to the title of the show, because they need to find who's going to be the acting chairman / CEO of the company.
Yes.
Make sure the stock prices don't descend into the toilet, which they already know that they will.
Yes.
But how can we soften the blow? What's the plan to make it not terrible?
Right. Yeah. And Dad's out of the picture, so it's kind of up to all of them. And clearly, they don't know how to deal with this.
They don't know how to deal with each other. They don't know how to deal with this. It's a great episode. You're fucking dumb.
There are better episodes than this one.
I guess. Like, I'm not going to argue with you on that, but this is still a great episode. I don't know what you mean by have to get through the first few episodes, because I'm enchanted by these people.
Okay.
Especially I love Kendall and Rava. I love their little scene. I'm getting ahead of myself. But
yeah.
I mean, basically, there really is no sequential order of events in this episode, because it's a bunch of like vignettes and how they all deal with it. So I feel comfortable talking about random shit whenever I feel like it, because I don't think it's not like this thing leads to this thing leads to this thing.
Yeah.
It's a bunch of failed conversations, and I love a failed conversation. I fail them all the time.
Some of the best, I will say, you're right, they're like some of the best setups happen in this episode, which we'll get to, but and some of the best characters are finally introduced.
I know what you're thinking, and I'm thinking Roman and Jerry.
We'll start here in this little thing that I am keeping track of, in that every episode so far has started with Kendall in a car. This not being an exception. He's crying in the back of the car at the beginning of this one, whereas the last episode he was like jamming out, listening to music. Like, very different Kendall this time around. I just feel like I should.
We're keeping track.
Kendall car adventures. Yeah. But anyway, just had to get that out of the way. The first thing that pops up is that they're like trying to find the right hospital, I guess.
They are so entitled. This is what I love about the episode. They're so fucking entitled. And when they're initially taking Logan into the ICU, Kendall is like, is this the best hospital? Is this the best room for him to be in? Surely we can pay for a better one.
Right.
And then Roman, I thought Roman was like fucking with Kendall when he first started the sentence, when he was like, hey, just so you know, like,
He was fucking with him.
And
then
he continues the question very sincerely. And I'm like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
This is when Roman and Kendall actually have a very tender relationship.
Because I feel like you see a lot of that in this episode. There's also the moment where Roman's like on Twitter and seeing all these memes about his dad, and he's like, can we report these fuckers or something? And I'm like, you can do that. Like, report them yourself. It's
you
just
have
like
it out clearly.
Yeah, a lot of entitlement being shown in this episode.
And so then when they finally move into like what is essentially the presidential suite to keep him in stable condition, then they're like, oh, that's better. Like, that's the kind of treatment they expected the entire time.
Yep.
Which is just so funny to watch. Like, we have no control over sickness in our body. I mean, we do have some degree of control, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, a brain hemorrhage happens. You have no control of whether or not he's going to be okay.
Yeah.
And so what can you control is like, you have a bunch of money to throw around and a bunch of people to boss around.
Yep.
This is how you can try and take control in this chaotic world.
Yeah. And I feel like Shiv, of all of them, is like really trying to show her bossy side. Because like when they have like that group huddle and they're like kind of deciding on the hospital and they're talking to the doctor, Shiv is like, oh, well, we'll take him to NYU or whatever. And then Marcia just fucking steps in.
Fucking awesome. I love that. that Marcia is not fully fleshed out, as like her motivations mm-hmm. aren't very clear.
Very mysterious.
And so when she decides to have Logan stay at this yeah. hospital, honestly, I probably would have done the same thing if I was her.
Yeah.
And I'm not even saying that for like money. It's very unclear in the episode, which I like, mm-hmm. of like, is she purposefully choosing a worse decision because she wants inheritance? Is she yeah. choosing what's best because she loves him? Is she choosing what's best for the company? Like, what is yeah. she doing? Oh, God. What a great character.
Yeah. I will say she used to run this show pretty hard. Like,
yeah.
You don't see a lot of her in the newer seasons, but like, you forget, she kind of... The moment where she like kicks Greg out...
it's like, really? In my face.
Yeah. Yeah, she really, like, shows her power in this episode.
I don't want to get ahead of myself, but, like, mm-hmm. this is a very big Marcia W. episode, even though it's kind of an L for
yes.
everybody.
Yeah.
Like, Marcia takes control, there's no one who stands up to her, and mm-hmm. she gets what she wants the entire yeah. thing. Which, I mean, his eyes open at the end, so
yeah.
clearly keeping him stable was the move.
Totally. I have a very different and maybe controversial winner for this episode, okay. but we'll get to it.
Okay. Let's then talk about some of the characters that are introduced, perhaps.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Willa.
Willa, yes, the Willa intro. Best line of this episode is, I forget if it's Kendall or Roman, who's like, doesn't she need to go do her homework or something?
Can you help her with her fucking yeah. homework? Like, can you help her with her fucking homework?
Them, like, making out at the hospital.
Awesome. Fucking sweet. And it's not introduced, right? I don't think it's introduced episode one either that Connor pays Willa to hang around, right?
Yeah, no, no.
Okay, so this whole time I'm like, okay, so is she, like, really 16? Like,
yeah.
It's really fun the whole episode to not know her deal and to just watch her be so strange.
When, like, they need to have, like, a family conversation and he's like, Willa, can you...
He's like, and then at the end of the episode, they just resort to being like, thank you, Willa.
Yeah.
She knows to leave.
Such a good character.
I totally Ben Willa. I'm not like actually Ben Willa, but
yeah.
it's like, you know when you're just not welcome.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
One person really wants you there and
right.
everyone else absolutely
does not care about you, yeah.
Uh-huh.
No, we've all been Willa.
We've all been Willa. She's kind of like the female Greg.
No, exactly. And like people talk about Greg being the one normal guy. I'm like, Willa is the normal person.
She's the most normal.
Yeah.
Because she's like, I mean, she's her own kind of like conniving or whatever. But
yeah.
like Greg's straight up evil. And Willa
right.
is just a woman who gets paid. She does theater, for God's
yeah,
sake.
Willa just wants to make this play.
It's just terrible theater with sand.
God, amazing character. We also, Jerry intro.
Huge. Roman and Jerry intro.
Dude, I'm like... Knowing how things play out, I was just, like, watching very closely.
Yeah.
And Roman is, like, staring her down as she, like, walks in. And it's such a, like, he is obsessed with her from day one.
Day one. He said, Mommy, sorry. I'm sorry. Let me try that. Mommy?
The whole, I forget, what's her ex-husband's name?
Baird.
Yeah. The whole...
He doesn't remember Baird's dead.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's like, how is he, by the way?
He's dead. Oh, yeah, no, I remember you. And then
yeah.
they do the whole corporate flirt thing.
Yeah.
Girl, they set it up early. And I'll tell you what, that shit gets me going. Maybe I'm revealing the excess of my perversion, but...
No, it's, like, objectively hot what
yeah.
is happening. Like, it's such a crazy... Because it's like, Jerry is not fully... opposed to it
uh-huh.
and you can tell she's
yeah.
like kind of into it,
because imagine getting like that kind of attention from a younger charming man,
right? Ugh, right,
sexy
dude.
Not into it, I'm into older, but I'd be the Roman in the situation, never the Jerry.
Yeah, I feel like Jerry really makes
no,
her mark
on that. You're gonna blow right past that.
I'm not well, I was like, I'm not gonna get too deep in. I'm like, my mom's gonna listen to this podcast, all right? I It's already called Suck Off. I'm like, how am I gonna tell them this at Thanksgiving?
I mean, it's not releasing before Thanksgiving.
No. Anyway. Yeah. Anyway, Jerry, I don't know. She like makes a lot of moves this episode. And
oh,
we'll get
yeah.
into like the ending, which is like probably the most important part about this
you
episode.
Do you want to get into the ending?
I want you to explain the ending for me, but we need like context. Like explain how
so
we
Jerry pulls Kendall aside. This is
uh-huh.
after they've decided that Kendall will be the CEO. Roman will act as the COO. I think they also decided Kendall is going to double as the chairman of the board like Logan was doing before.
Yeah, yeah.
And there are a lot of things that Jerry and Frank know about that
yeah.
only they know about.
Yes.
And so Jerry pulls Kendall aside and is like, listen, since we're going forward with you being the CEO slash chairman, you need to know that we have a major debt problem.
Yeah.
And her line is something to the effect of, in 1985, Logan needed to secure more cash to build the parks part of the company.
Yeah.
He secured a loan using the family holding company.
Yeah.
And the loan was secured against Waystar's stock. So if Waystar's stock drops below a thing, we will have to owe this bank $3.something million. $3.25 million, they say in the next episode. So that is like what her line is. There's a lot to unpack there.
Yeah.
Do you want me to start with family holding company?
Yes. Yes. Great.
So a family holding company, a holding company generally is a company that just owns other companies.
Okay.
It's like literally a placeholder.
Yeah.
As in, so I live here and I work at a comedy club. And if I owned this comedy club, let's say, and my brother who lives in Ohio owns this like sports park.
Right.
But say for the sake of argument.
Yeah.
And my dad wants to be interested in working with me and my brother and our separate like state or different states companies.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? We're like an entertainment business.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and rather than interacting with my company separately than my brother Joseph's company, let's say, he would create a family holding company to consolidate our interests. So he could act as like, let's say he wants to be the chairman of the board or whatever of both companies.
Gotcha.
Creating this, it just makes it on paper easier.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
To like deal with more than one company.
Understood.
Which families will do a lot. Families with a lot of wealth and separate business interests will just create a, like, again, it's like a basically a placeholder just to say on paper, yeah, like all of us are related and we all have similar business interests and like you're going to get paid one salary, my dad, for, you know, working for my comedy club and my brother's sports park.
Gotcha.
Under like Borky Entertainment Inc.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know? Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah. It seems like a good setup, honestly. I mean,
yeah, I mean, it just makes things easier. It's one of those business things that like is nothing
simplifies
and it makes
it, yeah.
Yeah, it simplifies it. So rather than asking the bank for money through Waystar Royco, Logan used the family holding company. So that way the other chairs of the board wouldn't be suspicious that Logan was getting like a suspicious amount of money.
Okay.
He used the family holding company to like hide it from the rest of the board.
Yeah, yeah.
But only Jerry and Frank know.
Mm-hmm.
So this loan that he gets from the bank, obviously, I don't think he got it for several billion at the time. I assume it's because it accrues interest over time. And, okay, let's talk about when something is secured, like a secure loan.
Mm-hmm.
When you buy a house, okay, no one ever actually, I mean, like, unless you're uber rich, no one ever actually, like, buys the whole house when it is sold to you.
Yeah.
You pay for, like, 20% of the house, and then you ask a bank to loan you the money to get the rest of the house, and you're paying the bank for your house.
Yep.
It's a secure loan because if you stop paying the bank for the money, they can have your house. That is the secure thing for the bank.
Okay.
It's not that you get to just like run away from town and someone has to break your kneecaps. They have like an actual thing that they can take from you if you do not pay for something.
Yeah.
That is the secure part of it. Like that's, is this making any sense?
Absolutely. Yeah,
fantastic. So when something is secured against something else, let's say secured against stocks, that is meant to, this again is like the girliest of girl explanations from like a little bit of Googling. And I just have a business podcast.
Yeah.
I am not a business person whatsoever. So this probably is going to be like 70% wrong. So let's get that. Let's not get things twisted. But if the stock is valued super, super low, that means that the bank is like, okay, well, we are no longer confident that you'll be able to pay us back at some point. So now we are entitled to that full repayment, and we're going to start taking some of your shit.
Which is episode three,
which is
right?
What episode three is all about.
Yeah.
So before, the relationship was, the relationship between like Logan and this bank, ISBC, I believe it is, is that, okay, your company's doing really, really well. We're confident that you're going to have like, that you will supply us with this $3 billion in debt at some point. Like that's just how finances are so like ever changing and fluid and dynamic or whatever.
Yeah.
That's what's like so baffling for me to understand is that you think of these mega corporations and you're like, well, surely they can just like start eating away at the debt because they have like $10 million lying around, don't they?
Yeah.
But the answer is like, no, they don't. Because all of this like financial stuff is so abstract and not concrete.
Right.
So that's why half the fucking words that they say in Succession make no goddamn sense, because they're always speaking in abstracts. They're always speaking in this like fluid, ever-changing financial world. So, I mean, Jerry sets up the stakes pretty clearly, right? She says, our stock is gonna drop, and when it drops, they're gonna ask for all of their money back.
Yeah.
Which is a problem because we don't have $3 billion lying around.
Right.
So if you fuck up this relationship between Waystar and the ISBC, then we are fucked.
Yeah. And so, that said, It's easy to call Kendall the loser of this episode, but I have him as the winner in my
interesting.
Book.
If he technically gets what he wants?
Yeah.
Not what he needs.
Exactly. Well, I'm containing it just to this episode. Okay. We don't know what happens afterwards. That's so and cool. I'm like, he has been given the opportunity to prove himself. Mm. And things don't necessarily, I mean, it doesn't look good at the end, but this is a big opportunity for him.
That's true. He does.
And he does kind of prove himself throughout the episode. Like, he somehow ends up as CEO.
He wins the social game, for yeah. sure. Because the whole, like, you know, there's the shareholders this, there's the stock people that. But
yeah.
this is really a relationship episode between the four siblings. And by yeah. allying himself with Roman, Kendall wins the social game.
Yeah.
Which Shiv chooses not to do because she's still against this trust thing that they're doing with Marcia.
Right.
And so Roman and Shiv have had this battle of wits the whole time. Oh, but you know who actually does win? Greg, by choosing Shiv over Roman.
True. That is a very crucial moment. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, he's at... A lot of it, you're like, what is the point of what Greg is doing here? Like, picking up slippers and the signature. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, he sides with Shiv at the end of the day. And he says it, like, right out loud. He's like, as far as, like, the hierarchy goes, who's...
who's the chain of command
yeah,
here?
So, like, yeah, I
but
feel
it
like...
it was a wise decision because he already, I think, previously had allied himself... No, it was after. But he mm-hmm. allies himself with Tom.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if this is before he reveals that he didn't bring the contracts or whatever, but anyways, mm-hmm. he allies with Tom, and Tom's like, I'll look after you.
Right.
Also, what I wanted to say is Tom says the most bizarre shit to Greg, on Greg only.
Yes.
You're Prince Charming? You want to fuck Marcia? He doesn't talk like that to other people. And I don't think he ever gets to be as weird as he is.
Yeah.
Because he's always, like, in a struggle for more power. But over yeah. Greg, he has basically all the power. So he gets to say whatever fucked up shit
right.
just flies into his brain. It's fucking awesome.
It's like every character in the show is kind of like that. Like, anyone they can have power over, they'll just say the dumbest shit to.
They'll say whatever they goddamn want.
Yeah. And I honestly put, while we're talking about Tom,
yeah.
I put him as the loser this episode.
Yeah.
Because he kind of is a fucking loser.
He gets stuffed pretty instantly from being CEO or getting his promotion in Parks that he wanted.
Yeah.
I guess in the next episode he's gotten that promotion, though. But in this episode, at least, it's not clear that he's gotten.
Right.
That.
There's also the whole proposal thing at
oh, yeah.
the hospital.
This show is so fucking sexless that I forget any romantic interactions that happen between any of the characters.
It's either extremely hot or, like, the worst thing I've ever seen.
Which this proposal thing was devastatingly bone dry.
Yeah.
Even, like, when it's charming and romantic that Shiv says yes, ultimately, like,
yeah.
it's just, like, weird.
Right.
Maybe it's just a thing I have with straight people, but, like, the homosexuals lost this episode.
Absolutely.
Really
no Greg and Tom moments,
there was
really.
A Lawrence in bed with his, like, male partner for that 1 second.
Yeah.
That,
yeah.
you know, the homosexuals, like, went back. They clicked the HBO Max thing back 15 seconds to be like, is that a guy? And then Lawrence gets out of bed and he's, like, cut as fuck. Like, that's hot. So I guess gay people kind
Dude,
of had, like, a mild.
Lawrence is extremely hot
oh
in this
God,
episode.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Because the only time we see him is without a shirt on and he's,
yeah.
like, a little sweaty from being sleepy.
Amazing. I
would make you get sexual on this podcast at some point.
It's just a very sexual show. Like, you can't. And if just wait till episode 3, which is, in my opinion, a very lot of sexual undertones there.
And overtones, dare we say.
I really want to talk a little bit about Rome in this episode because I feel like we learn a lot about his, like, fragile side here.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that the dad is in, like, critical condition. Like, Roman is clearly very uncomfortable about that. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like, I don't know, there's something to say.
And he feels comfortable enough to ask Greg mm-hmm. for a piece of Logan's clothing so he can smell it. And then smells it, like, when
yeah.
he arrives.
Yeah, and he does it in, like, such a Roman way. He's like, I don't fucking just something to smell. Something smells like him. And
thank you. Fuck you.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you. Fuck off, I think yeah. so was.
His, like, whole thing of, like, his neck hurts from, like, looking up at Greg because he keeps, like, asking. Jesus, fuck, it's so tall.
God, you're so tall. I'm done with this conversation.
Yeah.
It's fun to watch him go between two poles of really sincere, heartfelt, like,
yeah.
emotional, and, like, fuck you, you
yeah.
stone cold bitch. Like,
exactly. So, yeah, I don't know.
It makes him compelling because you don't know which one he's going to give you in any
right.
particular scene. So you're like, ooh,
right.
I love a dangerous guy.
Yeah.
Ooh.
At the end of, and that's what he ends up siding with Kendall, I feel like, for that reason. Because Kendall makes the argument that dad would be more upset if we gave this over to someone that's not the family.
Mm-hmm.
And Roman, like, he knows Roman's weak spots. And
mm-hmm.
I think that's very, That's very important.
And appealing to Roman's desire to have brotherly love and whatever is ultimately, again, why Kendall wins the social game. So you know what? This is like a pretty big Kendall W episode.
It's anyways. A big Kendall W. Because Kendall makes, Roman has that one line where he's like, if there were a list of like all the people in the world, he's like, you would be at the end of the list.
Oh, and he's also like, yeah, do you ever think mom wished that she gave birth to a can opener so that she had something useful instead of you?
And he miraculously gets Roman on his side by the
Insane.
End.
Insane.
And that's why I'm like, Kendall fucking won.
Yeah, no.
He wins this episode.
He did manufacture a
episode three, debatable.
That's for another episode,
yeah. As far as what's left to say, this is why I told you going into this, I feel like I don't have a lot to offer this episode because that's about all I have, but...
I mean, listen, I think you were right when you said this sets up a lot of the relationship. Mm-hmm. So we don't get any payoff, there's no meat, we're just at like the beginning bread of But you know what? I just want to briefly touch on Connor, talking about cryogenics. His character, more than any of the other ones, like Roman included, is so defined from the start, and Alan Ruck does such a good job, like, sitting in that weird guy energy.
It's an underrated performance, in my opinion.
I think so, too. He's so, so good, and he knew exactly, I mean, all of them knew, but, like, he especially just really, like, sinks his teeth in immediately.
Yeah.
Oh, and then you know what? Another thing I want to talk about, and I doubt you're going to answer my question, but it's the Kendall and Rava scene where Rava comes and, like, comforts him on the floor. And she's really, really sweet. And it's this, like, tenderness between exes that I understand and recognize. But then when they get up and hug, she's like, oh, I guess you're really excited to see me. Because I guess he had a boner when they were hugging.
I didn't pick up on that. You didn't? My God. That line completely went over my head.
Oh, it's just my body. And I was like, does that happen to people? Do they randomly get boners when they just, like, hug? That was my question.
That you were asking me that question. Okay. I mean, if I were in Kendall's position, I feel like he hasn't had any... like human connection this whole time, so maybe a hug is enough to, you know, send him over the edge.
But is that like, is that a common thing that happens,
people randomly getting boners?
I guess, yeah.
I as a middle school boy, it's a different answer,
sure, but as an adult man,
not as common. No.
Oh, but I mean,
it happens.
It does.
It'll happen at unfortunate times. But
so what do you do?
Now we're getting into we're talking about a Succession show. Yeah,
I mean,
I'm not.
Kendall had a random boner, and then Rafa was like, "Oh."
As his dad's on his deathbed, too. Might I remind you?
Well, also while their dad is on his deathbed, Tom is like, "I'm gonna propose."
Yeah.
So utterly sexless.
And Roman's hitting on Jerry. It's like a lot of sexual moves are being made. Yeah.
Sexual precursors.
Inappropriate space, yeah.
Yeah. You know what? That's kind of what makes it hotter.
It's what Logan would have wanted at the end of the day.
He died doing what he loved, turning on his children. Sorry.
And then the episode ends with the cliffhanger of Logan opening his eyes and he's back.
Oh,
Daddy's back.
You know he's back, baby. Yeah. He's been thinking. It wouldn't even be surprised if he heard the entire time.
Yep. That is like kind of what's implied, is that like he actually does know what's going on this entire time.
Because his eyes, like, maybe it's just like a compliment on Brian Cox's eyes, but they're just so knowing.
They're very knowing. I honestly, this is just a little side thing, is that I feel like Brian Cox's acting was way better in these early episodes or seasons than it's gotten.
Yeah, you mean the episode where his eyes were closed the whole time? Yeah. This episode
bodies this episode. Literally owns it. That man is asleep. Anyway, I'm about satisfied with what there is to say about this episode.
Fantastic.
I mean,
I love about this podcast that we just say like the interesting stuff and we don't really like stay on it for too long. We're like, okay, that was interesting. And next.
I mean, who was your winner and loser? I guess I never really asked you.
Yeah, I guess my winner was kind of Marsha.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
I know that we
two Marsha dubs in a row.
Yeah.
Did
we say Marsha was the winner last episode?
She was my winner last episode, kind of.
Who did I say? I can't remember.
Oh no! We said Greg. We came to Greg, which she did win episode one. Yeah. So yeah, Marsha kind of walks away with the W.
The biggest L. I mean, Shiv and Tom both take a series of L's in the episode.
You're very right.
As like a family unit.
Greg aligning with Shiv is what sends her a little bit over, though. I feel like Shiv, it is like a whole episode of Shiv basically trying to show her her power, and yeah. there's the moment where like they announce Kendall and she's like, by the way, I think this is gonna be a fucking disaster, and makes a whole scene.
It's so uncomfortable.
It's uncomfortable because it's cringe. Everything about Shiv is like she's trying to look like this powerful bossy guy and then just embarrasses herself at the end of the day. Yeah, and that's,
I have three brothers too, mm-hmm. much like Shiv, and I understand very deeply this weird like guarded space that she's in, or her this need to prove herself mm-hmm. in ways that are just like not conducive to her actual success.
Yeah.
So that's a pretty large W. Or L. We didn't talk about Shiv and Roman beating the shit out of each other. That's the best scene in the
Tom
show.
Tom walking in. Well, I heard, I don't know if this is entirely true, but I heard from an interview or something that, I forget who it was, Roman, Kieran Culkin actually slapped her on, and that was like not entirely planned. Yeah. And then they like, which is so good.
And that, I believe Kieran Culkin also did some sort of like wrestling in his day. And so like, he gets her like in kind of a headlock at the end.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, that's a really good moment because it just takes these two like very entitled people and makes them look like kids. And mm-hmm. you're just like, yeah, they're just children at the end of the day.
There's never been a better directing choice.
No, yeah. They're like, you know what, Tom, just fucking walk in.
Yeah. Because that could have or could not have been in the script. Because the scene probably would have worked to just see them fight and then like cut away to something else.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's just that extra, the sauce that makes Succession so good.
Yeah. And it's such a great, like, little tiny character detail of Tom where it's like, he won't get involved, but mm-hmm. he knows what's going on this mm-hmm. entire time. Which is something we'll talk about way later in this.
Yep, that's show. I'm gonna say Tom's the loser. I'll agree.
He
with
is
you
the
on
loser.
That one.
He's the loser. Martin. He maybe is getting married. Maybe it's a.
It's a maybe.
It's a maybe. Well, that does it for episode 2. Shit show at the Fuck Factory.
Be sure to like and subscribe.
Yeah, and we'll see. Anything to plug? Should we do the plugs at the end?
I mean, yeah, so. I have my business podcast, Busted Business Bureau, yep. that I recorded so devastatingly hungover this week. Like, it's so
about the
hungover.
NHL, yeah.
On the NHL. I'm so hungover that, like, it's still to this day.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to say, follow me on Twitch. I'm trying to build an audience on there. Yeah. Carson_ Rundquist.
What do you do on Twitch?
I'm playing GeoGuessr. It's where you place randomly on Google Street View, figure out where you are. It's a fun time.
Slay.
Anyway, thank you for listening.
Oh, I'm sure that our levels this time maybe were better. The
right. Oh, I'll acknowledge that. I'm sorry about the mic levels in the last episode. Bye. We got too excited. I didn't know we were going to get that excited. And
wait, there's a lot to talk about with Succession.
There's so much so to much yell about. Yes. As always, suck off.